Amen. The book of 2 Timothy, just before Hebrews, and you get to 2 Timothy chapter 3. A verse that you should be well familiar with and have outlined in your Bible. I hope you have a pen that you're marking your Bible if you don't have these things. Here Paul is writing to Timothy, that is going to be a pastor. He says in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and be assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Right here it tells us about the Bible. When it talks about Scriptures, the things that he has learned in verse 15, "What have you known from a child? The Holy Scripture." And he says that scripture in verse 16 came from God. Inspiration. God breathed out the Word of God. We got it from Him. And it's the most profitable thing you're ever going to have in your life. $1 billion is not the most profitable thing that's in your life. Most of you are millionaires, haven't made it to billionaires yet. But anyway, he said the most profitable thing is for four things: doctrine, the beliefs, for reproof, need to be told what's wrong, for correction, how to correct your wrong, and instruction in righteousness, what to do now. In other words, it tells us what's right, what's wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. And it's all through the Scriptures. Now, if we really believe that verse, we need to immerse ourselves in that book, the Scriptures. The King James Version in the English, for the English-speaking people, the Bible. Do you read it every day? He said, to make you wise unto salvation. Are we wise or fools? We need to do something about that, whatever's going on in your heart and in your life. There's trials and troubles with everybody in the whole world. Bottom line, everybody's having a hard time. You're not alone. Be selfish. Think of others, not just what you want to do or what will hold you back from doing right, but think of others too. Think of God, first of all. You were made, created to please Him, not yourself. Revelation 4 tells us that. The question is this scripture, is this Bible, the actual Word of God? The Word that has come directly from God. Now, the Bible says so right there in verse 16, obviously. But does that make it so? How are we going to know if the Bible is the very Word of God? Go to your right a few pages and you get to Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, and get to chapter 11. And in verse 1 it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, the things that are in the future. Things that are hoped for. And it says, the evidence of things that are not seen. Are we supposed to believe the Bible just because the Bible says it's the Bible? Or is there evidence? It talks about faith. The real kind of faith is dependent on things that would happen in the future. What's that called? Prophecy. So the evidence, there is evidence that the Bible is the Word of God, and most of it's dependent on prophecy coming true. I have a few different messages on that. Because when you're trying to witness to somebody, and of course you are, because that's what God commanded you to do with your life now that you're saved, is to go preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission. So number one, if you're not doing that, you're sinning in your life. There's no two ways around it. But they will many times argue with you, debate with you, that what you believe is based on a book that just a bunch of people wrote and said what they wanted to say, and you're believing it. They'll try to destroy your foundation for your faith. The 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to always be ready to give an account for the faith that's within us, the belief that's in us, giving an answer to every man that asks us. That's all in context. So we need to be ready to do that. And I'm going to try to prepare you in some things this morning that should be a blessing to you and a help to you in your Christian life, not only to strengthen your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Bible, because if the Bible isn't true, if it isn't the Word of God, it didn't come from God, what are we doing? We're believing something that's from a bunch of men. And they can write, anybody can write anything they want. And you're depending your whole soul on this. This just isn't something to beyond that. This is something very, very important in your life. Because our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is dependent on whether we have a book that has veracity. It is sound. It's sound doctrine. It's a rock. It says here in verse 1 that faith has evidence, but the evidence is not seen many times. In other words, it's spiritual. Is that the only thing that isn't seen? Or that you didn't see yourself? That means it would be in the past, or it's going to be in the future, prophecy. So you got history and prophecy. Very important. Don't ever put those down. History and prophecy is life. You're talking against life if you talk against that. Because the Bible is history. And the Bible is prophecy. Why? Because it deals with life. And so we need to know that. And he tells us, there's some evidence. Are we to believe just by blind faith? No. When Mark was a little, my son Mark was a little boy, did you ever notice that when kids get quiet and you don't hear them hustling around or playing in the next room or whatever and making noise? You better find out why they're quiet. They're into something. All right? Every parent knows that. So, all of the kids knew enough to stay out of chocolates and sweet things like that and so forth. And we had meager beginnings. So that'd be a special thing at a special time. But anyway, you know that I'm a disciplinarian and that I believe raising my kids like that. And so I did. But he was quiet. I got up out of my chair and I went over. And I said, "Mark, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, nothing, Daddy." I said, "Mark, did you have some of that chocolate?" "No, Daddy." And there's just chocolate all over his mouth. What was that? That was evidence. Evidence of things not seen. I couldn't see him, what he was doing, and everything, but there was evidence there. Detectives and police work and so forth, that's all they go by. They follow the evidence, okay, because they weren't there when the crime was committed and so forth. You got to put it all together. But it's the same thing with the Bible. There is evidence to all of that. You see, you didn't see God inspire the Bible. But you can see footprints and you can see fingerprints. Now you don't want to rely on someone else telling you what the Bible says. That's why I insist on you bringing your Bible to church. And look for it for yourself and study it yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Okay? Too many Christians have gone way astray when they listened to someone and didn't know what they were talking about. But he was all dressed up in a robe and everything else, and he was standing behind the pulpit, and boy, he had a good sermon and all this. And they believe the man, but not the book. That's why this message is important. It's up to you to study to find the evidence. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about your eternity. If this book you have in your hand is not the Word of God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no Jesus, there's no miracles, or just throw everything out the window. So you see how important this is. I'll make two statements quickly. First, statement number one, the Bible can be misused, misapplied, and misinterpreted. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Got to zip right along as we always do. It's hard to hurry with the truth. I want you to see it, know it, and do it. Doesn't do any good for you just to come and listen. Study. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity," he's talking about himself now, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. In other words, Paul said, you know, we're sticking to the Bible, just like I was just mentioning. But he does tell you that the word of God can be corrupted. Got it? You change the Bible, you got something corrupted. And he says there was many back then. Imagine what is going on today with over 200 different versions of the Bible out there, all changing words, leaving out verses. Why do you think I'm a stickler on the King James Version? Don't change the book. It's the truth. Don't corrupt it. Look at chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. He says in his ministry, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So my first statement is true, obviously. The Bible can be misused, misapplied, and misinterpreted. That's why we don't listen to people that aren't in this book. That's why you make sure you're listening to the right thing. Got to watch out about TV programs. Preachers on TV. Watch out. Those things are very true. That's why the local church was started in the first place. God started that. Men didn't start that. Jesus said in Matthew 16, "And I will build my church." Jesus is the head of this church. He just put me as an overseer. It's called pastor. Watch after the flock, after the sheep. So that's number one statement. Number two statement is, sometimes the Bible is so deep that we're not able to grasp the meaning. We can't understand. And we certainly can't explain it all. There isn't anybody that can do that on the face of the earth or ever has been. Go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. You gotta have this stuff down. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're paying attention. Because if you're going to obey God and talk to people, try to get them saved, and they bring this up, which is the normal thing for an intelligent person to bring up, you can prove that the Bible is the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, that I was all talking about there. in verse 16. Second Peter 3:16, as also in his epistles, talking about Paul's letters, the epistles, speaking in them of things, these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are, they that are unlearned and unstable, rest, that means twist. It's talking about wrestling. The sport of wrestling is twisting the body, as they do also in other scriptures unto their own destruction. Again, you don't have the truth. You're twisting the verses. Every cult does that. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Scientists, Seventh-day Adventists, on and on it goes. Hare Krishnas. Yet, let alone all of the different denominations, you know, the Methodists, the Lutherans, so forth, on and on it goes. Back in the day, you could believe some of them, for they were great in the Bible. Not so today. Isaiah 55 talks about his ways being high above our ways. His thoughts above our ways. In other words, it's hard to understand. Even though we're going to prove this morning that the Bible is the Word of God. What? By evidence. Remember I said? You're going to be the detective. You're going to be the one to make sure this book you're believing and I preach and your soul depends on came right from God. It's true, for God cannot lie. It's like a first grade kid and you show him calculus. And he says, calculus must not be true because I can't understand it. Does it make it not true just because you can't understand something? No. Because we already proved the Bible is hard to understand. That's why it has to be explained. That's what pastors are all about, evangelists, preachers. Be able to explain the Word of God to you. So you got to have the right book. You got to have the preacher that can help you understand some of these things. And still, no preacher can understand it all. But I invite you to ask your questions. I'm happy to give you the answers. We got a question back there, question box back there. It's been up there over a year and nobody's put a card in it. You're not growing. You could say, yeah, we're growing. No, you aren't. It's nice you think you are. But you have to ask questions to get answers. You do have questions. Ask them so you can get answers. So you can grow. Important that you do all of this. Don't kid yourself. I'm here to tear that away from you. Try to bring you to the truth. The kid said calculus isn't true. Well, guess what? The problem isn't with the calculus. It's with the comprehension. Is there mistakes? Is there contradictions in the Bible? It's like somebody that didn't know what he was talking about the Bible, you know, and people do that. I read the Bible, and I know the Bible stories and Jesus and the Old Testament. But you still can't tell me how six guys can carry Noah's Ark. He doesn't know the difference between Noah's Ark and the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, I know all of the Bible on him. Doesn't have a clue what an ark is and what's going on. Let's hurry along. Evidence number one. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. People are funny, boy. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. If you don't have this outline in your Bible, do it right now. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Get the evidence. Prove this book is from God. Every atheist in the world says it isn't from God. But you have the evidence. There's never been anyone to show an error of fact in the Bible. They can accuse that there's errors in the Bible and there's contradictions in the Bible, but nobody's ever proved that. It's an answer to everything. They just don't want to believe, because if they believe, they're going to have to leave their sin. And they don't want to give up their sin. That's bottom line of what's really going on. That's the underlying factor. Nothing wrong with the Bible. Just that you don't understand it. You haven't preached it, the truth. So, number two, evidence number two. You can prove the Bible is from God just by the process of elimination. God is the only one that could author the Bible. It couldn't have been written by men because there's two types of men. There's what we call good men, normally honest and everything, not criminals or anything, or bad men, the ones that try to deceive and criminals, so forth, all that kind of stuff. It couldn't have been written by either kind of those, because it couldn't have been written by good men, because the Bible says it came from the mouth of God. And that makes him a liar. So he's not a good man anymore. If you can't prove it. If a good man wrote it, he knows he wrote it. But the Bible tells you it was the word of the Lord came over and over again through the Bible. So it couldn't have been a good man that wrote the Bible. It also couldn't be a bad man, because it says that everything that's wrong with you, it condemns you to hell forever. Why would somebody write a Bible that condemns yourself to hell? And it's only your opinion anyway. If any man wrote the Bible, good or bad, it's their opinion. That doesn't make it true. It had to be God. Just by elimination, you can prove that. The poet put it this way: the Bible is, we plainly see, then it must have a pedigree. It is either a book divine, or men to make it did combine. Suppose the latter, then they must either be wicked men or just. Take either case and you will see a proof of its divinity. If wicked men compose this book, then surely their senses they forsook. For they, the righteous man, defend and curse the bad from end to end. If righteous men, then they change their name. For they, the authorship, disclaim. And often say, thus saith the Lord, and testify it is his word. If it be not, then they tell a lie, and all of the righteous deny. Another poet put it this way. The Holy Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not, if I could, believe that good men wrote it to deceive, and bad men could not if they would, and surely would not if they could, proceed to write a book so good. Certainly no crazy man could e'er conceive its wondrous plan, and pray what other kinds of men than do these groups comprehend. Hence it must be that God inspired the word which souls of prophets fired. So that's the number two evidence. It, even by common sense and the process of elimination, it had to be God that wrote this book. Evidence number three. It claims over 1,800 times in the Bible that it is the Word of God. It has a good track record. It's always accurate. It's always reliable. So it claims. Number four, it acts like it is only God that could know about creation, that could know about the flood. Only one there is that can know with authority. That trustworthiness of the Bible. Are you convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible is the Word of God? God invites you to double check his word for its reliability. One of America's most famous Bible scholars, Robert Dick Wilson, for many years professor at Princeton, Wilson spent 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, for 45 years in an attempt to authenticate what the Old Testament claims to be, the Word of the Lord. In so doing, he studied ancient languages for 15 years and mastered more of them than any man who has ever lived. He spent another 15 years studying the Old Testament in the original Hebrew. He spent the final 15 years of his life writing the results of his research. Wilson's conclusion was that the Bible is what it claims to be. The Word of God. Amen and amen. Have you done that kind of study in your life? Yeah, this guy meant what he said. He had proof. C.S. Lewis, you ever heard of him? He was a good Christian. There were problems with him in other areas, but on the Bible not. He said this, a man who was merely a man and said the kind of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. That's what it's all about, folks. Read the things of Jesus and what he said. Wow. So even by reason, you can find out. It acts like it is the Word of God. It changes people. It does its work. Some of the worst people that ever lived received Christ and are changed. Dale Murray, we had preaching here just a week ago behind this sacred desk. He was the leader of a gang in the prison. For years, he was one bad dude, you could say. The worst of the worst. But boy, when God brought him to his knees, his whole life changed. He means business. He's not playing religion. That's why he and I get along so good. So I asked him to preach and so forth. Is the Bible true to you? Is it the Word of God to you? Can you prove it? You got some work to do. Important things that we need to see. The fifth evidence is the testimony of Jesus himself in Luke 24, 25, also in John 14, 26, also in John 16, 13, and on. Jesus referred to the scriptures. He referred to Noah. He referred to Jonah in the whale. He authenticated that it was the Word of God. Old Testament and New. And he outwardly told you he's the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you got the testimony of Jesus himself. Evidence number six, the unity of the 40 writers. There were 40 different writers. There's only one author, God, but there's 40 different writers, and they didn't all write at the same time. It's over 1,500 years that they wrote, and they're all in unity. They were on three different continents. They spoke in three different languages on different subjects and circumstances, personalities. And that had absolute unity of thought, no contradictions, complementing each other, a master plan. Evidence number seven, we're going to quit here in a minute. I told you I had 10, I'm on 7, so hang in there. Should be very important and interesting to you. Your whole soul depends upon it. Scientific accuracy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. To your right a few pages from what you looked at before. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 20. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. People think evolution is science. It's not science at all. No evidence of billions of years and all this foolishness. It's not science. Science is where you get something, you can prove it in a laboratory, and you can make it do the same thing over and over again. Then you know you got the truth. So the Bible isn't a science book, but every time the Bible talks about things of science, it's always right. It's always right. All of the stars and everything back in Bible days, you, with your naked eye, you could only see 4,000 stars. But God said the stars were like the sea of the sand. Who are you going to believe? You just wait until the Hubble telescope gets up there. And then you find out God was right. You wait until the James West telescope, the newest one up there, and they're even seeing galaxies they didn't even know were there. And God said it in the Bible. All the time, right from Genesis. God's always right. Scientific accuracy is the seventh. The eighth is history, historical evidence. Archaeologists, they have digs. They dig in the ground. And even though historians said there was no such place as Nineveh or the Hittites or Belshazzar, they have dug up evidence of those same things. They got them in their hand. Brother, that's evidence. Historical evidence. Number nine, prophecies, as I told you before. Go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21. This is what God says to the unbelievers. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Prophecy. Let them show the former things. History. What they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Prophecies. The prophecies have come true. They're still coming true. They still will come true. Some haven't come true yet. It's not time. And the last evidence. Evidence number 10. Victory over attack. What's the one book in the world that still has survived all of the attacks of trying to destroy that book? All of the martyrs died for this book. Men shed their blood for this book. They tried to burn it. They tried to bury it. They tried to hide it. They tried to destroy it. Throw it in the depths of the sea. They've done everything they could to get rid of the Word of God. But nobody has ever been able to get rid of the Word of God. It's eternal truth. You put all of those evidences together, you will see that the Bible is trustworthy. It is the very Word of God, not made of men. God used men to pen down what God said over 1,500 years. Have you lived 1,000 years? No, you haven't been around, right? This goes way farther than we. A professor of biology, I close with this, a professor of biology held a little brown seed in his hand as he said to the class, "I know exactly the composition of this seed. It has in it nitrogen and carbon. I know the exact portions of each. I can make a seed that looks exactly like it. But if I plant the synthetic seed, it will come to naught because its elements will simply be absorbed in the soil. However, if I plant the seed God made, it will become a plant. It contains the mysterious principle we call the life principle. The Bible looks like other books. We might even write books that sound like it, but there is a deep, mysterious difference. Man's word will come to naught, but God's word planted in good soil has the life principle that bears fruit." You let this word of God get in your mind, get in your heart, get in your life. It will change you. Not a little, a lot. As much as you yield to God, as much as you're faithful in studying to show yourself approved, according to how many times you're in church to hear the truth preached and taught to you. That's up to you. I can only present this to you as a preacher. I can only prove the evidence to you. It's up to you to do something about it. I pray that you'll make the changes in your life to please God, and that you will have this miraculous book as the closest thing to you in life, the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we have invested here in your church, studying your book, realizing that we have something special in our hands. The thing's alive. It's not a dead book. Help us to realize everything I've tried to preach, make plain this morning, that it will take hold of our heart, our minds, and our strength. It will defeat any enemy that we have against us. Help us to apply what we know now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord.